Well, good evening. I'd like to welcome everyone for being with us for our Advent service this evening. And we're going to begin by having a reading for a Bible story from Joyce. Joyce?
Our Bible story reading for this evening is called Good News. It was still night outside the town of Bethlehem. Some sheep were sleeping. Shepherds were watching them. Suddenly, an angel came to the shepherds, and God's glory shone around them, and they were afraid. But the angel said, "Do not be afraid. I'm bringing you good news. This is happy news for all the people. Today, in Bethlehem, God's son was born. You can go see him. He is wrapped warm and snug in a manger." Then many, many, many angels came from heaven. They praised God. Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth. When the angels left, the shepherds said, "Let's go find this baby." So they hurried to town. They found the stable, and they saw the new baby. Then the shepherds left, thanking God. They told everyone what had happened. The people were amazed, and Mary always remembered this special time.
Jeremiah recorded the Lord's promise. "I will make a new covenant. I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." Paul reminds his readers, God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. Let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. The angel told Joseph, "Do not fear to take Mary as your wife." Joseph called his name Jesus. We will now sing hymn 357, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel.
O come, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou wisdom from on high, who orderest all things mightily, to us the path of knowledge show, and teach us in her ways to go. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
Our gospel reading for this evening comes from Matthew 1. Although he thought about divorcing Mary quietly, Joseph obeys the angel's command, takes Mary and names her son Jesus, God among us to save us from our sins. This is a reading from Matthew. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord. Well, grace and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called Christ. You know, every family tree has members who are unfortunately totally forgotten over time. Their existence seems to be confined to census data. There's very seldom, if ever, any statues or memorials commemorating their accomplishments. In fact, after, I'd say, the third or fourth generation, their memory is pretty well gone. It's only when someone begins the process of constructing the family tree that their names and places in the family history are recalled. But their lives are remembered. And with working up at the Cuba Historical Society, I see this every day, lives are basically defined by the little dash between two numbers. And I always think, how strange. The sum total of a person's life is a dash. For those who research genealogies, their computer files are mostly pages of names. We see a lot of that. Their names and their descendants. And what Matthew has done here is he's helped construct kind of a genealogy for us in introducing Jesus as the son of David and the son of Abram, probably one of the last names on Jesus' family tree is Joseph. Now, why is that? Well, Mary is really the key figure in the life and ministry of Jesus. Joseph is barely, if ever, remembered. He's kind of the ultimate average guy whose stature pales in comparison to Mary. The evangelist Mark, great writer, never even referred to Joseph at all. Outside of the birth accounts in Matthew and Luke, the only recorded mention of Joseph is when he and Mary took 12-year-old Jesus to Jerusalem. If you remember that Passover story, Jesus becomes lost. They can't find him. Now, the interesting point of that story is that when Jesus went missing and they found him, it wasn't Joseph who rebuked his son Jesus for getting lost. You know who it was? It was Mary. Mary was the one who chided him and told him, don't ever do that again. You scared me to death. Now, Joseph probably agreed, but he wasn't involved. So Jesus went missing, but so did Joseph. After that incident, Joseph is gone. He's gone out of the Bible. He's gone out of history. He's gone out of sight. Now, Jesus, after the age of 12, he interacts certainly with his mother as well as his brothers. You know, we should consider that. Jesus was called the Son of David. In fact, he was called that 15 times in the gospel. Blind men would cry out to him, "Lord, Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." The Roman centurion, remember this, the Roman centurion who oversaw the crucifixion saw how Jesus died and called him, "Surely, this was the Son of God." In fact, nearly 30 times, Jews and Gentiles, clean and unclean, and even demons would call Jesus the Son of God. And the messianic title of Son of Man, now that's the one that Jesus preferred, is used 80 times in the gospel. When Luke references Joseph in his genealogy, he refers to him as the son of Joseph. But to many, he was forgettable. Matthew's version of the birth of Jesus is different in that the traditional scene, Matthew focuses, and I think this is interesting, Matthew focuses on the events leading to the birth of Jesus from Joseph's perspective. How interesting. When Joseph learns that Mary is pregnant, and knowing that he is not the father, he is only left to conclude one thing. It's easy. Mary committed adultery. Joseph decided to have the marriage dissolved, but then he decided, and I think this is something we should study, he decided to do it quietly. He didn't want to bring any shame upon her. He just wanted to fix or solve the problem. Joseph's plan shows us why God, in his wisdom, chose Joseph to be the dad. Because of his nature, he was humble, he was quiet, and he had a great compassion for his wife. Joseph is a compassionate man. Rather than lashing out in anger or vengeance, he showed mercy and compassion while still being faithful to God and turning away from sin. But the angel appeared to Joseph and told him that this child in Mary was not the result of sin, but of God's grace. The angel then told Joseph that he was to name the child Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. This had been no ordinary conception, and this was going to be no ordinary child. This child would be the ultimate embodiment of God's plan of salvation, saving them from more than just oppression and suffering. He had come to be the Savior from sin. He was the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One. He was the one who would rescue and redeem God's people from death. No, Jesus was not like any other child ever born because he came to save his people. And you know what's interesting? He even came to save his mom and dad, Mary and Joseph. And what did Joseph do? Joseph simply did what the angel commanded him to do. He took Mary home as his wife and cared for her. And when she gave birth to a son, Joseph called him Jesus. God had a plan, and the angel revealed that perfect plan of salvation to Joseph, and he believed. Now, the angel of the Lord would appear to Joseph two more times. First, an angel appeared to Joseph to tell him to take his family to Egypt to protect his adopted son from the murderous King Herod. Then, after Herod's death, Joseph was told by an angel, again in a dream, to return to Israel. He once again settled in Nazareth. Joseph had no objection. He raised no debate, no record of his words or anywhere. Joseph simply did what was commanded of him. Jesus' earthly father, Joseph, had something in common with all the other names in that family tree. Even those that are more famous and renowned, certainly. Joseph was a sinner who needed a Savior. Mary was a sinner who needed a Savior. When he gave the child the name Jesus, it was because he too needed someone who would save him from his own sins. God would then use Joseph to protect Jesus from Herod's soldiers. So Joseph actually protected the baby Jesus. And these were soldiers that wanted to kill the babies, as they did around Bethlehem. But one day, Joseph's adopted son Jesus would allow himself to be run through with nails and spears. Jesus, the son of Joseph, did it all. His earthly father, and for all who are part of the family of faith. May God strengthen us that we may be comforted in knowing that our God not only remembers us, but that he also sent Jesus to save us from our sins. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen. We pray, Lord Jesus, when you came to save all mankind, you graciously used lowly and perfect people in your human family. We pray that you would use us now to spread the news of your holy birth, sacrificial death, and glorious resurrection. Son of Joseph, hear our prayer. We now pray Luther's evening prayer. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day. And I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul in all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. We pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, bless and keep you. Amen. We now sing our final hymn, hymn number 364, Away in a Manger.
Bless all.